Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise hymn number 28, Thy Mercy, Lord, is in the Heavens. 28. Heart waits silently for God. Our hope is in Him. Let us pray. Almighty God, the Creator of all things and the Maker of us all, we come into the atmosphere of worship and seek to bring thoughts and mind into the attitude of worship. So may we begin the week by giving to You, our God, Your rightful place in our life. Lord God, our life is influenced by many things, distracting thoughts and circumstances. We need to reassert ourselves as we gather for worship. Help us to lay aside all other considerations and to realize that we are here in the presence of the living God. Straighten the crooked places of our life, O God. Make the rough places plain. Help us to admit our faults and to seek Your pardon and renewed strength to live this life as we ought to live it. Guide us in the life of this day and every day, and help us to make more use of the guideposts which You provide on the way through life. Direct our attention to Jesus, in whom this human life has once been supremely lived, and help us to follow Him faithfully, for His own sake, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 124, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. 124.
Thank you.
read God's word in the Old Testament, the first book of Samuel, chapter 16, at verse 1. 1 Samuel, chapter 16, at verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And in the New Testament, John's Gospel, chapter 2, at verse 18. John, chapter 2, verse 18. "Then the Jews demanded of him, 'What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?' Jesus answered them, 'Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days.' The Jews replied, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days.' But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise." Hymn number 214, "New Every Morning." 214. Thank you. John's Gospel, chapter 2, at verse 25. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. I like the version that we get from J.B. Phillips, which says, he knew them all. He did not need anyone to tell him what people were like. He understood human nature. When someone is applying for a job, sometimes it's necessary to produce references or to give the names of referees, people to whom the prospective employer can go and ask for references. Ministers are sometimes asked to give references. I'm occasionally asked to do this kind of thing for people. I'm very willing to help in this way if I can help. I would never say anything about a person if I did not believe it to be true, but I would try to say something in such a way that it would help. Well, do these things really help? Do they really help people to get jobs? Do they really help employers to know what the applicant is really like? Well, maybe they do to some extent, but I'm inclined to think their usefulness is very limited. Who do you ask to be a referee for you? Aren't you always going to ask someone you think will give you a good reference, not someone who has a grudge against you or someone you've had a difficult time with? And when a friend provides a reference, isn't he going to do his best to say something complimentary about you? He's not going to give a catalogue of your faults, even if he knows what some of them are. Interviewers know this, of course. Maybe they become expert at reading between the lines of a reference, as it were. But even so, what can be learned about a prospective employee from someone else's remarks is very limited indeed. Jesus now, he knew them all. He did not need anyone to tell him what people were like. He knew them right through. In the days of his earthly life, that was true. How much more is it true now? Now, when his encounters with people don't have to depend on his physical presence, they can take place anywhere, anytime, when people are least prepared for him, perhaps. Jesus knows what people are like. So it's no use pretending that we are otherwise than we are. We may get away with that where other people are concerned, for a time at least. Even then, it's likely that the truth will out eventually. But the Lord Jesus Christ knows what we are like. He's not hoodwinked by glowing references which someone else may give us. He knows it all. Maybe we find that truth to be very disturbing indeed. Why does John the Gospel writer mention this about Jesus, that he knew human nature, that he didn't need anyone to tell him what people were like? John tells us this after saying that there were many people who believed in Jesus because of the wonders he performed in Jerusalem at the Passover time. If he had declared himself there and then, they would have followed him gladly. He would have been able to get his movement off to a great start with the considerable following and support he could count on, with all those people believing in him, impressed by the miracles of healing. Off to a great start, yes. But Jesus knew human nature. He knew there were a lot of people who were only attracted by the sensational. Getting people to understand the way he had chosen, the way he had worked out in wrestling with the devil in the wilderness, that would be another matter altogether. So Jesus did not trust himself to them. He knew what people were like. It was all very well following him because of the wonders he did, the spectacular. It would have been a different matter if he had begun to talk to them about the way he had chosen when he rejected the way the devil offered, if he'd spoken about service to God and service to their fellow men, about sacrifice and self-denial, about self-surrender to the will of God, about a cross and carrying a cross, where would they have been then? What would have happened then to their enthusiasm and their readiness to follow him wherever he went? It did come to that eventually, of course. It can still be like that. The Lord Jesus Christ can still find today that he has followers who only want the glorious, the miraculous, the sensational. They don't want to know about self-denial. They don't want to know about self-sacrifice. And they certainly don't want to know about a cross and carrying a cross. Jesus knows them. He knows them thoroughly. He doesn't need anyone to tell him what people are like. He's not hoodwinked about what you and I are like, and that is disturbing, if anything is. People believed in him and followed him eagerly at first, we're told, because of the wonders he did. We often talk about the miracles of Jesus. That's originally what the word miracle means, something which makes you wonder, leaves you standing in amazement. There's more to it than that. But that's the first thing. It makes you wonder, leaves you amazed. And the miracles which the Lord Jesus Christ still does today are still like that. They leave us in wonder and amazement. There's still more to it than that, as there was in the days of his earthly life. Wonder is only one thing. Jesus can bring about changes in human lives. Changes which are sometimes so drastic that they leave us wondering. We would never have thought it possible. It's just as well that God does not restrict himself to that which we human beings think is possible. Wonder is one thing, but there is more to it. There is power. When Jesus healed the sick and the lame, when he gave the blind their sight and the deaf their hearing and the dumb their power of speech, there was power at work. When the woman was healed of her trouble just by touching the hem of his garment, Jesus was conscious that power had gone out of him. There was power at work. And there still is power at work in the ways which the Lord is at work in the world and in human life today. Wonder and power. Yes, and we notice that the gospel writers, not only John we were reading today, but the other gospel writers as well, they speak of the miracles of Jesus as signs. Maybe that's the most significant thing about them. They're signs which point us to something deeper. I once got a letter from a gentleman who wanted me to consider training to become a handwriting expert. I never took up the man's offer. I don't know if I would have turned out to be any good at it anyway. But there is no doubt that people can tell things about people from their handwriting, from their words too, spoken words, from their actions, from the way they dress, the way they walk, the way they furnish their house, the way they keep their garden, all sorts of things which people do help us to know something about the people themselves. They're all signs. It need not surprise us then that the wonders which Jesus performed are signs which pointed to the nature and the character of God. Jesus made use of the power which God had given him, not for selfish purposes or for impressive display, which would attract attention. He used it for the benefit of people, to relieve people's need and to heal their minds and bodies. The way he used the power made people sit up and take notice. It sometimes made them stand back in amazement. It was clear that there was power at work, and it came as a sign of the way God deals with people. There was a story in a newspaper about a pensioner who died in his flat and was still there undiscovered 3.5 years later. That's hard to explain in our enlightened age. People sent bills and demands for unpaid bills, but no one went to see what was wrong. No one raised the alarm. It's easy for people to say that kind of thing. It's not our business, not our duty, it's someone else's province. But we're left with the condemnation that somehow the community ought to care. God cares. God is concerned about the needs, the fears, the plight, and the problems which people have to face. He came in the person of Jesus, among other things, to demonstrate this care and concern. When Jesus performed those miracles, he was giving a clear sign that God cares. People ought to care. You and I ought to care about how it is with people in parts of the world which don't have enough food, about people in parts of the world where there's strife and trouble. Yes, but more immediately even, about how it is with people around us, the people we meet every day, the people we live with or live beside, the people we're so easily accustomed to take for granted and assume that they're all right because they've always been all right. If we don't care, it's no good pretending that we do. We may deceive ourselves into thinking we're not bad people, really. We may succeed for a time at least in deceiving those around us. But we have to remember that we are always in the gaze of that scrutinizing look, the look of one who does not need anyone to tell him what we are like, the one who knows us through and through. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Number 336, Christ is our light. 336. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we pray you to accept the offering we seek to make, the offering of our material resources, and the offering of ourselves. Grant that all our efforts and all our prayers may tend towards the building of a world of peace and joy and freedom. We thank you, Lord, for every good gift which we receive from you, for the world in which we live, all its mystery and all its resources, for daily bread and the things of every day, for the life of home and the love of dear ones and the fellowship and companionship of friends. We thank you for work to do, ways of serving you in serving our fellow human beings. Above all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Help us to live in the light which emanates from him, so that our life may be a contribution to the welfare of your people and the establishing of your kingdom. Lord, we pray for the church, that it may be an agent of truth and love, leading your people to a knowledge of your love and salvation. We commend to your care those on whom we depend for safety and protection, those who are ill and those who tend them, those who give themselves to the public service in one form or another. Bless and help those who are finding life hard and frustrating, those who have temptations and difficulties too great for them to overcome alone. Be with those who are in doubt which way to turn and how to cope with their situation. Bless those whose lives are going well and help them to remember the source of their happiness. Bless those dear to us and keep them safe. We thank you, Lord, that in living this earthly life, we are one with those who have lived it before us in your faith and those who in that faith will come after us. Help us to live worthily of the great heritage in which we stand and to enter the life eternal through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. A couple of things to mention, friends, in addition to what's on the leaflet today. First of all, about Christian Aid, a big thank you to the volunteer collectors. If anyone did not receive an envelope and would like to make a contribution, please take one from the pew, and that can be returned with your offering at any time. And the other intimation comes from the presbytery. Mrs. Anne Turner, the current presbytery treasurer, has indicated her desire to retire from that post in the near future. We believe that within a presbytery with some 28 congregations, there must be someone capable of taking on this task on behalf of the presbytery. And to that end, this intimation has been given this morning from every pulpit in the presbytery, asking those who would be capable of this task to express their interest in fulfilling this vitally important role, either to the person reading the intimation, who has details of how to contact the clerk, or by email to the clerk at rdrossen@churchofscotland.org.uk. And we would ask each person with bookkeeping experience to give this their prayerful consideration, and each congregation to be prayerfully mindful of this need. These things. And now our closing hymn, number 476, Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory, 476. peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.